aftermath of the French election resonates in Russia, and the European Union's foreign policy chief makes her first visit to Moscow. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is RFERL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So, the first round of the French elections are history, and it will be Emmanuel Macron facing off against Marine Le Pen in the second round. And with the pro-European centrist Macron heavily favored, polls show him winning 60% in the second round, Moscow cannot be too happy with the result. Three of the French candidates, Le Pen, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the leftist, and François Fillon, the right-wing candidate, were all more or less pro-Moscow to varying degrees. And Moscow is hoping for a win-win scenario in the second round. I think they were hoping for a Fillon-Le Pen second round. And I think really their preferred candidate was not Le Pen, was Le Fillon. I actually think that, but it didn't get this. And on top of all this, Russian media has been smearing Macron persistently, which means if the polls are correct, the next French president is going to be anything but friendly to the Kremlin. What's your take, Steve?
Yeah, as you say, I mean, I think the Kremlin cannot be happy about the result here. I mean, I think it shows a couple things. One is the sort of nightmare scenario of Russia kind of winning elections around Europe and in the West this year hasn't really come to fruition.
Oh, yeah, the Dutch election didn't exactly go their way.
Exactly. And then so we'll still have Germany. Barring a, you know, surprise win by Le Pen, you know, I think this is clearly the worst outcome for the Kremlin in the French election. It also shows, I think, you know, that not every kind of unusual or, anti-establishment or at least candidate who's kind of a change from the usual is a sort of a win for Moscow. I mean, Macron, you know, he's running as kind of a candidate of change, but in this case, he is, you know, by far of the four top candidates, by far the sort of most anti-Moscow or at least pro-Moscow one. So I think that sends a message to Russia that, well, you can try to undermine sort of the status quo, but I mean, even when it is undermined, or even when voters go against the status quo, it might not be going in the way that the Kremlin wants.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, Patty Ashdown had a piece last week looking ahead to the British election, saying the French model of this kind of anti-establishment, I'm loath to even call him anti-establishment,
right,
but this kind of radical center, if you will, is potentially the wave of the future. It's not the Le Pens of the world or the AFDs in Germany of the world, but it's candidates like this. Macron is a former economy minister, but the thing that's interesting is this is the first time, I believe, since the Second World War, that the two major parties, the Socialists and the Republicans, neither got their candidate into the second round. Yet the candidate that's favored to win is the most mainstream centrist you can find.
Right. I mean, that's sort of what I was trying to say, but put much better. I mean, because you got to wonder whether the fears or the perception in these countries that Russia is trying to meddle and trying to influence things is one of the factors in people going to candidates who are sort of pro Europe or who are, you know, don't want that influence.
No, I think that is certainly the case. And Moscow media has been smearing Macron relentlessly, and that he's going to remember that when he's the president. So in all likelihood, this is going to have what the Russians would call a bratny resultat. They're going to get the worst of all possible worlds. And then looking ahead to the German elections, shaping up to be a race between Angela Merkel and Martin Schulz.
Right.
Now, as far as, no, certainly big differences on domestic politics there. But in terms of foreign affairs, not much daylight between those two.
Right, because he was, if I recall correctly, he's been pretty tough on Russia.
He's been pretty tough on Russia. Yeah, in terms of the sanctions, in terms of on human rights and other issues. So it's the interesting sign from the French elections. Maybe this populist wave that Moscow has been trying to capitalize on has crested and is now receding. In another related story, European Union Foreign Affairs Chief Federica Mogherini is beginning, as we speak now, her first official visit to Russia. I believe she's already spoken to Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
I think they're meeting right now.
What are you watching for here? Because Mogherini had a reputation of being rather pro-Moscow, but yet there's a lot of issues separating the European Union and Russia right now. Does her role take over, or does she...
She appeared more pro Moscow, but I think in the period of time that she's been the EU foreign affairs chief, she hasn't really shown that. I don't think she's said or done much that suggests that. She's been fairly strong or firm on sanctions and not really deviating, I don't think, from the EU policy. So I don't see the visit as being sort of a risk that her view, that some kind of view that's more pro-Russian would prevail. I mean, one thing I guess Russia would think is that it does, they can say, look, she's visiting this, we're needed, you have to talk to us. But on the other hand, I mean, it's coming at a time when the EU is upset and the West's upset with Russia over several things. I mean, we're going to talk about Syria.
Going to talk about Ukraine
after the chemical weapons attack, and then Ukraine, and this comes after the mine blast killed an American medic on a OSCE monitoring mission in Ukraine yesterday. So, and she's going to talk about that with Lavrov. So, I think it's going to be one of these visits where you have the West and Russia, the EU and Russia, pretty much at odds on several issues.
Do you expect a tough meeting? Do we expect any tough rhetoric in the post-meeting statements, or do we expect kind of just...
Well, I mean, going in, they both seem to be saying, we want to have real cooperation on issues despite our differences. But it's sort of, I think it's the kind of thing where Russia's claiming, well, we want it, and you're blocking it. And then the West is saying, well, you're...
We can't have it unless you change your behavior.
Exactly. So I think we're going to get that is probably the message more than any other that may come from Mogherini in this meeting.
And this is also coming amid kind of fresh reports of some ghastly human rights violations in Russia. The Novaya Gazeta reports of the persecution of gay men in Chechnya, and it comes amid a crackdown in the aftermath of the March 26 protests, and where people are wondering if we're going to see a renewal of the Bolotnaya scenario. And so this is all adding.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of EU values and such. So it's not, I don't think it's a time when you're going to see the EU suddenly getting, or, the EU foreign policy chief suddenly getting more warm seeming in terms of Russia.
And it's coming again as we're expecting to Russia to continue meddling in Western elections. The second round of the French election, we have the German election coming up, and the British election, and possibly an Italian election. So there's still we've kind of moved through a couple of elections here. Again, this is going to be an issue that's on the table between Russia and the EU for some time. We'll pay a close attention to the diplomatic language that's used at the close of that meeting today. That's all we have time for today, so I'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead of stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFRL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.